Hello, this is Wesnitz, and you're listening to Pomcast. Pom-pom. One take. Nailed it.
It's natural. Yeah.
Hello! Hi, and welcome to Pomcast, the podcast that accompanies Pom Pom Quarterly Magazine. I'm Sophie Scott, and I'm joined, as ever, by the lovely Lydia Gluck.
Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Lydia. What have you been up to?
Oh, well, I was at a wonderful knitting show over the weekend, but I'll save that for the news section.
I can't wait.
No one ever can. It's so exciting. How about you? What have you been up to?
I've mainly been watching a lot of classic films. Films that I never thought I wouldn't have seen at this point in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not young, but I'm not old, and I should have seen...
That's a Smith's lyric, isn't it?
So, Blade Runner.
Yes.
Have you seen that one?
You know what? I know that I've read the book.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure that I've actually seen the film. I can't remember now. Maybe I have.
Well...
Do you feel like I would know if I'd seen
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, because of the stunning shots. It's one of those films which is very timeless.
Mm-hmm.
I think it hasn't... it's very 80s in some ways, but at the same time, it's very, like, modern and just brilliant. Brilliantly shot. Like, really, really enjoyed it. And I went to go see it in the cinema, which I think helped a lot with the whole atmosphere and, like, oh my god, really cool.
Yeah.
Also, my other classic films I've been watching, Pretty in Pink.
I haven't seen that.
That's a good one. Very kind of good 80s feel good. Mainly 80s I'm staying in. Yeah. I don't want to go too adventurous.
No.
And Say Anything with John Cusack and a lady where he's holding the boombox. And I've just been listening to a lot of Peter Gabriel on repeat because of that.
Wow, I'm glad that you've been broadening your cultural horizons.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, looking back towards the horizon behind you.
I feel if I can be a responsible commentator on pop culture and society and knitting in general now, I need to build up my backlog of references.
Yeah.
So classic films is what I've been doing.
Very good.
Basically.
Well, you see, that's something I need to do because I'm known amongst my friends as the person who hasn't seen anything.
Right.
I had the pleasure of being brought up by parents who liked to tape really obscure children's films, and we would just watch those over and over again. So I've seen, like, The Dark Crystal and The Last Unicorn, like, 3 million times, but I had never seen Ghostbusters or Home Alone.
You know what? I haven't seen Ghostbusters.
Well, I watched it last year.
Right, okay.
It's really good.
This could be the next thing. We want film recommendations.
Oh, we would love film recommendations because we've had, you know, the book top three that we did was very exciting. And I think we had a few book recommendations.
Yeah.
So, of course, film recommendations. And in other cultural news, both of us have been to see the Alexander McQueen exhibition, which is on at the Victoria and Albert Museum in South Kensington.
Yeah.
So if you're in London, it's on until September, right?
It is, yeah. It's like their big summer exhibition. And just the whole, like, the outfits and the whole creation of it is amazing. But the way it's curated, like, each room you walk into, it's like a big kind of gilded mirrors, and then it's like a cave kind of thing.
Well,
and
I think because the idea was that they were recreating his very kind of impressive and...
Yeah, it's almost like it's performance, but it's like the theatre, but it's also a catwalk show.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole concept. It's amazing.
And amazing projections. I really enjoyed the projections, and I think for the first I think it was like two rooms, I mean, you know, that I won't do too many spoilers, but the first two rooms
there was clothes in there
were more about tailoring,
yes,
which I find very interesting.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
thought, oh yes, I like clothes, this is very nice. And then all of a sudden it became like this kind of very immersive experience almost. So you had the music playing, the music that would have been playing when the collection was kind of launched at the show, and amazing projections. And I don't want to say too much, but
it's stunning. And you kind of get out and you sort of get into the gift shop of the real world, and you're like, I'm not ready for this. I needed like a little bit of a sit down.
Yeah, you need sort of like a decompression chamber where you can just kind of think about everything. And like, you know, I think I didn't actually know that much about Alexander. You know, I knew kind of who he was roughly, and I knew that he was English and from London, and that was a big part. You know, I knew that he was known for being very kind of outlandish and so on. But I feel now like I get it more. Like, I really understand why he was such a big deal.
And that's the mark of a good exhibition, I guess. You know, kind of get immersed in that world.
Yeah, and I'd love to see it again, actually. So if any of you are thinking of going, then definitely do. And, you know, let's talk about it on the social media.
Yeah. So, coming up on the podcast, we have usual news and reviews.
Mm-hmm.
That handy rhyming couplet of fun things. We have Tell and Tell, where we tell you guys and each other about our knits. We have a wonderful and exciting interview with Mr. Stephen West.
Stephen West, guys!
He's the best. of Neon Knitters. Yes. So we're very pleased we could catch a little chat with him. I'm sure you guys will be as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got Ravelry Realness, our top picks of Ravelry, and a top three, which has a travelling theme.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up.
Yes, Pom Pom had a stand at iKnit Fandango this weekend just gone, which was in the Royal Horticultural Society Lindley Hall, which is a beautiful location. It has a kind of amazing like glass roof, basically, like the whole roof is windows. And so there was lots of natural light.
Essential for choosing hours.
Exactly. So that was lovely. It was on the Friday and Saturday. And it was a really lovely show. There were lots of our kind of show buddies, you know, people that we kind of see around at the shows, like Rachel Coopy and Linda from Kettle Yarn Co. Blackett Yarns were there, which is always very exciting. And there was also the ever elusive and exciting Wool Mice.
Yeah, I heard this. A lot of people went very crazy for this.
Well, and, you know, I can see why. Yeah. Yes. So it was pretty amazing. It was definitely the most Wool Mice I've seen in one go since Knit Nation.
Yeah.
And
speaking like a true veteran,
it was impressive as always. And yeah, it was just a really nice atmosphere. And the cafe was done by the Finchley WI.
Oh, really? That's
which
cool.
Was really sweet.
I didn't know that fact. That's great.
Yeah, and the cafe kind of overlooked the show. It was quite a small show, almost like a capsule show.
Mm,
so it was like very high quality, small amount of stands.
High quality, yourself included, Pom Pom included. Yeah.
And it was lovely because I got to, you know, always enjoy being at shows and meeting people who listen to the podcast, for example, or read the magazine, or who haven't done either of those things, but see the magazine and like it, which I always find very lovely. So yeah, that was really fun.
I've been spending most of the week thinking about, can you hear the drums? And then realise it's Fernando, the song.
Yes.
But I want to be like, Fandango.
I was thinking, isn't there like a Franz Ferdinand song that involves the word Fandango?
I know there's a Queen song, definitely. Oh. As well.
Have I mixed those guys up? I don't think so.
Either way. Good
Either
fun.
Way. We'll find one or all of those songs and we'll fact check and post them alongside this this podcast.
So Pom Pom's also travelling across the pond, as they say. Who says that? I don't know. People do.
The people.
The peeps. to TNNA.
Yes, the National Needle Arts Association. trade show, yes, in Columbus. So I'll be there, which is exciting. And Pom Pom will also be doing a trunk show, I believe.
Oh, excellent.
Date to be confirmed. That'll be at Brooklyn General, the yarn shop. So any of you guys who are in New York, I was going to say New York in like a...
I know, I can see
your... A faux New York accent that I thought, no, 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 no.
I could see you thinking about it and then you kind of... That pause of like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. can't do accents.
But as you've been to New York, you'll practice and then you'll come back. And
oh, yeah, I'll come back and you'll be like, oh, who's this person who's from New York that looks just like Lydia?
Who's this broad?
Yeah.
I nearly said the accents wrong. Well, we'll practice our accents.
We'll get back to you on that, guys. So, so come say hi if you are in New York in the week, the first week of June, it'll be. And of course, we will be telling you via all the social media places where and when we'll be. And we can report back on that the next podcast. That's good.
Fantastic. Well, most exciting news, and probably a lot of you know this already, issue 13. It's been winging its way through your doors and local yarn shops and, I don't know, maybe some helicopter drops things off.
Definitely.
And, yeah.
We provide a high service, high quality service.
Pigeon, carrier pigeon messages,
yes.
Dropping them in.
To owls.
Far climbs. Owls, yes. Excellent.
Huskies with sleighs.
Yeah.
Pom-poms on the sleighs.
However you make it, you know, just make sure you get your copy of Pom-pom. Yeah, so there's a new summer issue, which is looking lovely. I know we're all biased in this room who's recording it, but lovely issue.
It's very summery, I would say.
So we've got lots of... What are your favourites from this? You've actually knit some.
Well, exactly. I'm just going to go with... they're all my favourites, really. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I choose between my children? But since you're forcing me... I am particularly excited about the two bags, which we'll discuss more later, I think.
Yep.
But just because we've never had bags in the magazine before, so we have a kind of little kind of pouch for storing your knickknacks, which is tapestry crochet, called Azulejo.
I thought you were going to say, for storing your tapestry crochet. But like, I need to make some tapestry crochet. So I store my tapestry
crochet. Meta! You store your tapestry crochet inside the thing you made with tapestry. Yes. Well, and the other bag, which is called Pomelo, is more like a kind of, how would you describe it? Like a kind of market bag?
Yeah. More like satchel style, maybe?
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't have a flap.
No. But it's made in blue sky cotton, and you could put your knitting project in it.
I think, you get to the point where you were knitting it and you'd be like, oh, I put stuff in this now, great. Yeah. Multi-purpose.
So that's good. And then in the wearables, well, there's so many to choose from. What about you, Sophie? What's
I
your
like,
faves?
I like Michelada by Nadia Starlings, which has this lovely bouncy kind of moss stitch pattern in it. So like this gorgeous kind of rusty red colour. It was Life in the Long Grass yarn. I think that looks nice because also I think it would blend nicely within that weird kind of fall. I'm going American. that weird, like autumn kind of. If you get like sometimes you get those gorgeous Indian summers, like September. So I think that would be good to do one of those. And you, in fact, have. So.
I have, but I'll save talking about that till a tell
and
tell.
I'm so excited about tell and tell.
I'm excited.
yes, and lots of lovely articles as well. Good articles in Pom Pom. stuff about the golden ratio, and Anna Maltz has her usual bit about summer knitting.
Yeah.
I love the title of that. It's Some Are Knitting.
Pun.
And then a natural dyeing article by Anna and Juan. Right, thanks, Gun. Thank goodness you're here for the pronunciation. so yeah, it's quite exciting if you guys ever want to have a go at that. And I think, it's a nice summer activity to do something like that.
Definitely outdoorsy.
Yeah.
So I think, even though knitting is, as we all know, not traditionally considered a summer activity, I think that we have shown time and again that it can be, especially in Britain, but I think also elsewhere.
Cool. So we've talked so much about this new issue. I think we should move on to Tell and Tell because it works quite nicely with what you've been up to.
It does. Yeah. So I was very excited, of course. I mean, I'm excited about all the issues of Pom Pom.
So the disclaimers we keep offering.
But I was particularly excited about this one, and I finished my Michelada just in time for the iKnit Fandango, which, I mean, as any of you know who, make things and then wear them to knitting shows, they're like the best place to wear knit items because everybody kind of knows what they are. They know that you've made it and they want to talk about the yarn that you've used, and it's really fun. So I was wearing it on Friday and Saturday. So any of you who popped by the booth will have seen me in it. I made it in yellow with a kind of grey trim, just a little bit on the edges of the sleeves and on the cast-on edge around the kind of waist area. And I very much enjoyed making it. I made it in the Cascade Heritage sock yarn, which is lovely, lovely to work with. And I'm like trying not to wear it all the time. Luckily, it's actually not really warm enough to wear it all the time yet.
Can you offer any tips for knitting it? Because a lot of people are probably thinking about making it. I am, so.
Well, there's short row shaping around the, for the neckline. And because you're switching between two different needle sizes to get the texture, you're just keep an eye on that, basically. It's just, it's not, by the time you get to the short row shaping, you're really used to the pattern, you're really kind of comfortable with it. So it's, I find it fine, but I was like, oh yes, doing short rows and don't forget to change needle size kind of thing. So I would say that. And I think that I liked doing the contrast edging. So that's a little extra, could do that. That's nice. Always fun. And I've started making Greco.
Ah, from the new pom-pom. So yes. That's the cover star, the nice kind of Breton stripes.
Exactly.
That nice lace detail in as well.
Yeah. And so the original is in, the very kind of traditional Breton stripe, kind of dark blue and kind of, it's not quite white, but kind of cream, very, very pale cream. And I've gone for pink and grey.
Yeah, of course.
The opposite of the traditional. And I've just done a little bit of the, I've only got a few inches so far, but already I'm very excited about it.
Excellent.
Yes.
Sounds good. Well, I'm still working on some Fika socks, which is so easy. I can understand why there's this Fika fan club. I'm now a certified member.
Fika fan club.
Yeah. I did try and, I must say the difficulty I had with the long tail cast on. Not long tail cast on. Fine with that.
Tubular
guys.
One.
Tubular cast on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. At one point I was doing it on a train, and the people I was next to were knitters, my friends.
Yes,
I have. And they were kind of. They were like, you can just do a different type of cast on. I was like, no, I'm sticking. I'm gonna stay on this train until we get to the location. By the time we get there, I've knitted some of it, and I had like two rows, and I was like, yes. So it's nice to have the support of people.
Yes.
I suppose that was my travelling stitches.
What are
story.
You making them in?
I'm using Lang Yawol sock yarn, which is nice. Like a mix of pure wool, a little bit of nylon. And they're quite cool because they come with like a little extra reinforcing spool inside of it. Like a little secret, like surprise, extra yarn. So you can like use that along with the toes and the heels to like reinforce it. It also makes them like extra squidgy, so that's quite cool.
I made my fika socks in that yarn as well.
No way! I didn't know.
Wait, man! Oh,
what? Why don't we talk about this stuff on a podcast or something?
I know! Our great minds are thinking alike.
Almost if we're in the same spheres of influence.
I'm also, you know, I was talking before about my Delita shawl in the previous podcast. For those of you, I'll just do a quick rundown.
I remember.
Making it in Shibui, two different Shibui yarns, held double, a mohair and a kind of alpaca, so it's lovely and fluffy. That's for the body of the shawl, and then has kind of bobbles in a contrast colour. And I was worried that my contrast colour, that the yarn itself, although the colour was lovely, the yarn itself didn't quite lend its, it didn't kind of work overall.
Texturally. Yes,
texturally, was, very good.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I decided to put it to one side and use it in a different project. And I bought a unicorn's tail from a magician.
I traded it for some golden beans.
Exactly. No, I got it, of course, from Loop, and I got the colour Neon Peach, and it's, for those of you who don't, I mean, maybe you don't know, it's Madeline Tosh's kind of mini skeins, and they call them unicorn tails because they look like fun unicorn tails, I guess.
Pretty magic.
And as everybody knows probably by now, I'm into unicorns.
Yep. And tails.
And tails! And Neon Peach. So I've done the bobbles now, and I'm just working on my edging, like, phase one of the edging, because it's got a kind of a double layered edging, and I'm really enjoying how like I've never done an edging like this one before. We've got the kind of double layer, and it's very 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 clever, and I can't wait for it to be finished, although I'll probably finish it right in the middle of summer and have to wait about, well, realistically not that long. I'll have to wait some time before I can wear it.
That's pretty exciting. Just remember, you can always tell us and all the other users of the internet, mainly Ravelry, on the Pom Pom forum groups on Ravelry. We've got the knit alongs for all the issues.
Yep. So the summer knit along is going strong, and so we'd love to see what you've made. And there's also a separate thread for you to post kind of while you're making things, and
chatter.
Exactly.
And then there's no chatter.
Yeah, there's chatter and no talking, just posting finished objects. So that's always good fun, and you know, you can win super cool prizes. As always. So yeah, you can tell and show us, or some would say show and tell us, what you're making there, and we'd love to see it.
We'll see you there on the interwebs.
So our review for today is Home and Away, Knits for Everyday Adventures by the lovely Hannah Fettig, also known as Knitbot.
Indeed. She's part robot, part knitter.
Yes, she is. And she's made a book somehow, even though she has no hands to write with, but we'll get back to how that works later. So, Sophie, what do you think of Home and Away?
Closer each day. So maybe Hannah Fettig didn't watch the Australian soap Home and Away when she was growing up, but that's all I can think about while we've been like discussing this review, like before this thing.
And I had said to Sophie, well, you see, I was more of a Neighbours fan.
As was I.
Yeah, so both of us are in the Neighbours camp, much like other British people might know, you know, most people are either an EastEnders watcher or a Coronation Street watcher. Sophie, which are you?
I think I've probably watched more EastEnders in my life just by default, but I wouldn't say I could say anything about it.
I definitely went through a phase of watching EastEnders, and I definitely went through a phase of watching Neighbours very religiously when I was at uni, but I've never really watched Home and Away, but I know the theme tune.
Yeah, there we go. That's just our cultural understanding of the world. We've just got our fingers in all those cultural pies. Which we can reference.
Home and Away. Anyway, so now that we've got that out of our system.
I don't think we have. It's going to crop up again. But we're sorry, guys. But
we can talk about this very, very lovely, very beautiful book.
Yeah, so it's all photographed in Maine. So there's a lovely sort of inspirational photos. I think one of the nice things about this book, it's very educational. There's a lot of technical detail. But then it's also just a good book just to enjoy the beauty of a good photographed knit.
Yeah, there's lots of lovely snow, snowy trees.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed thoroughly.
So one thing that this book is sort of builds on is, you may have listened to, and if you haven't, then we recommend it, Knit FM, which was Hannah Fettig and Pam Allen of Quince & Co fame. And they did a little podcast, which was, I think it was about 12 episodes or something, but they were very like technically based, like each episode going through like gauge or sweater construction. There's room in this world for lots of podcasts, so I'm happy those guys did that one.
I'm like the biggest podcast fangirl that exists.
Yeah, so just, you know, if you like us, then you'll like that.
Exactly.
But they sort of, like, that was sometime last year they did that, and people really enjoyed it, as did I.
Mm-hmm.
So this book is like a nice kind of follow-on from all those podcasts. There's a lot about construction and understanding gauge, mm-hmm. and lots of technical things about choosing yarn. So it's a really good overview, I think, for beginners if they want to either build on their knowledge or just, mm-hmm. I think there's lots of, in this, especially in the podcast, there's lots of stuff they talk about and I'd be like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? Like obvious things that you're like, oh, I should have always known that, but then, ah, this is what these things are for.
Never stop learning.
Exactly.
Never stop
learning.
Cool
thing about knitting.
Yeah, and one of the extra interesting things about it is that Hannah Fettig is known for lots of kind of top-down, sort of drapey cardigans and jumpers. And it, for this book, you can either knit the patterns. The patterns are written for both top-down construction or bottom-up and seamed construction.
Which is quite revolutionary in the, you know, usually there's a tradition of a designer choosing one way.
Yeah, normally you kind of pick your camp, or particularly maybe for a design, you might not pick overall, but you would choose to make
set up a tent.
Yeah, and then just knit it top-down, just stick with that, rather than knit the tent in pieces and seam it and then sit inside it. But anyway, which I think is really, well, it's just interesting because, that yeah, some people, you know, think that even though top-down is kind of easier, that sometimes it doesn't quite get the right kind of shapes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that both are good, of course, and that's why this book works so well, but it's also, again, educational because, you know, you can kind of read in the book, there's like advice on, you know, both kind of options, and you can choose then for each different design, you know, would I prefer this to be top down or bottom up? Or maybe if you're more experienced making things bottom up and you fancy trying something top down, then you can just do that.
Yeah. So you get, what sort of patterns are speaking to you from this book then?
Well, I like Georgetown a lot, which is, I mean, they're all kind of lovely kind of minimal designs. Mm-hmm. So that kind of goes.
I think that's the very sort of simple aesthetic, which is why it's nice for beginners, because sometimes you just want that simple classic look.
Well, exactly. And I do quite when I'm not making pink and grey lacy ridiculous t-shirts. I want, you know, just a simple cardigan. And this does that. It's lovely kind of shawl collar. In Quince & Co. Al, which I've never knit with. It's wool and alpaca and it looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that looked lovely kind of and cosy. And the version that's been photographed in the book is the set-in sleeve version. Looks very lovely. It's got kind of, like a ribbed shawl collar. Just very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And just looks super snuggly. And especially with the like snowy backdrop, was looking very beautiful. How about you?
Speaking of the way it's shot, I like the one that's called Simple Hat because she's holding a rooster in the picture.
That was cool.
I like the name Simple Hat. It's like, I like my men like I like my hats. Simple. And holding a rooster. But that nice thing with that, when we're saying about the different ways you can knit things, this is, the hat is designed for different weights.
Yeah.
So you have a bulky and a worsted / Aran and DK weight. Mm. So I think that's fun. It's sort of, Hannah's sort of focusing on the construction of getting a good fitting hat, which I struggled with.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to like read more about that and sort of see how I can get this perfect hat.
Yeah, implement the advice.
Exactly, yeah.
And learn through that.
And there's also Leslie, which is a nice jumper with a very simple boat neck, very fitted, kind of very classic kind of 50s styling in Osprey. So a nice chunky cardigan in that. Jumper even.
Yes, I had that written down also, and I wrote down short rows.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of short rows in there just to kind of get the fit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it would be a good time, I think, to try short rows for the first time in a jumper like that, where you're not necessarily dealing with a stitch pattern at the same time or kind of colour changes. I mean, short rows are surprisingly easy. They're a bit like cables where you're like, oh, it looks so complicated and scary. And then it's like, oh, this is really logical and makes perfect sense once you've done it.
You heard it from us kids. You can do it.
You can do it. I think those are lovely. And I've also in my notes written lovely snow exclamation mark. I know I've already mentioned that.
I think
you're
a fan of the snow.
I do. Well, because you know, as a person who lives in the UK, I've experienced good snow very few times in my life. You know, I remember building a snowman when I was little and thinking it was very cool. And it hasn't happened since then.
Maybe you could do a top-down and a bottom-up snowman with this
top-down snowman, yes. Wow! But yeah, I wrote down a little quote from the book, which was like regarding the kind of getting to choose between top-down and bottom-up, which says, choose your own adventure, which I thought was a nice tie-in with Home and Away.
And it does say at the beginning, this is for the knitters and the adventurers.
Lovely. Of which I think, should we include ourselves in both of those groups?
I'd like to be, yes.
Okay.
So that was Home and Away by Hannah Fettig.
Yeah, so check it out, guys. It's a lovely book. For this podcast is Stephen West, formerly and probably currently still known as Westnitz. Stephen started out, you know, kind of at the beginning of the Ravelry revolution with his lovely kind of earthy shawls, and now he's known for his bright neons and love of brioche, I would say.
Definitely.
So let's talk to Stephen.
So hi Stephen, thanks for coming along.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Awesome. We're going to start with one of our classic questions, which is a cliche, but it's always good to know. What is your earliest memory of knitting and how did you start?
Ooh, my earliest memory of knitting, I would say, is making Chinese stars, because I probably didn't know it wasn't knitting. It was working with yarn. My mom had a basket of acrylic pastel red heart, and I had the popsicle sticks. You put them in an X and you weave them mm-hmm. in and out, and then you throw them in your brother's eye. Ninja stars. I think we called them God's eyes or something too,
because when it hits your eye, you're like, oh god.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah, so that was kind of knitting, I thought. Cool. It was.
So originally you trained as a dancer, but then now your life is much more involved with knitting.
Actually,
oh, really?
Contrary to popular belief, I don't know what's
exclusive.
But I don't know what belief is, what people believe. But I learned to knit and dance at the same time.
Okay, how did that come about?
Lots of coordination. I was a high school, and you could take dance instead of PE. My advisor in the morning was the head of the dance program, and he said, "Stephen, you should do dance." And I'm like, "What? There's a dance program?" So I did that instead of running around tracks and hitting the balls and play, I don't know. But so I did that, and my school had a knitting club, and a lot of my friends knit, and I wanted to be cool, so I asked them to teach me.
Yeah. We all know knitting's cool, so yeah, you got that right.
A lot of your friends knit. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Nobody I knew really knitted when I started.
Yeah, a lot of my friends in high school. We had craft nights.
Aww.
One of our craft nights was spent, I was knitting, we were doing beading, making jewelry, and then we pierced my ear. It was very crafty. And then we got bubble tea, and it was one of the best nights. That's what my high school was like.
So you trained as a dancer and trained as a knitter, I guess, uh-huh. could sort of your
yes,
knitting training at the same time.
Did both.
How do you think the two complement each other? Because they clearly do in your life.
Very well. Well, I dance less now, mm-hmm. but in high school, college, I went to college for dance, but I was knitting the whole time in between rehearsals, in between classes, instead of classes.
Secret's out now.
Stay at home and knit. And then I built a business, and great. It worked out for me. I wouldn't recommend it, kids. Stay in school. But it works because you're dancing with your whole body, usually, and then that's exhausting, so you need to rest and then knit. But if you knit all the time, then you're not working your muscles, so you got to do something to complement. So you can run and walk and knit at the same time. That's good. Multitask. But yeah, doing something. I cycle in Amsterdam every day, so that keeps my whole body active, because I do wish I could just knit 24/7, and I do. But yeah, you need to do something else. But yeah, they're good physical complements.
Cool. So I want to talk more about your designs, which I'm sure a lot of people who listen are probably familiar with. When I think of like classic Westnitz kind of designs, they're very tweedy and the colours are very earthy, and mm-hmm. now there's sort of been an evolution of your design to more kind of colour, especially neon.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been like a catalyst moment of that, or do you think it's naturally been your kind of progression as creative kind of knitting thing?
Yeah, it's just kind of evolved into a new phase. Yeah, it's my whole life. Everything's connected. Everything's one. I started doing more bright colours like a couple years after I moved to Amsterdam. So, yeah, I just met, yeah, I was just around a different style and around a different kind of creative energy. And for me, that just gave me the space to play and not, yeah, do the right thing or stick to one style. But I got to experiment and try different clothing, and that affected what I wanted to knit to go with what I was wearing. So it's gotten quite bright, and it's not bright every day.
Yeah.
Like today I'm wearing pastel pink and black and white and gold accessories. So, but I have fun with it because, yeah, for me, color and style is very of the moment, very instinctual and improvisational, but most of all playful. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to stick to one. I'm not going to take myself too seriously and stick to my aesthetic and stay true to myself and my brand. And no, it's always going to change. So
how have you found people's reactions to that?
I found last year there was a period when I started releasing a lot of my new, more colorful stuff, more crazy garments that I know not everyone should wear, and I don't think you should make patterns and designs that everyone should make. Mm-hmm. That would be boring, whether it's a taupe sock or a rainbow like Dickie, I don't know. Like, everyone shouldn't make the same thing. So I noticed a lot of people didn't like the new stuff and were sending me like personal messages, like expressing their concern and extreme disliking of it all. But there were just as many people who were like, I love this. This is great. Like, it's so good, fresh to see something like this. And I think that's important, to have something out there that triggers people one way or the other. And I'm not doing it to like provoke anything from people. Like, I'm doing it because I want to wear those things and I'm interested in this style or these kinds of color combos. But yeah, I've noticed that the people that are responding to it, making the like more fun, crazy sweaters or trying the bright colors like Edison Bulb and Neon Peach, I have a really fun time interacting with them online and in person. And that's where I get inspiration from. So I'm going to keep following that communication and that vibe because that keeps me going.
More neons in the future, yeah?
Definitely. I haven't kicked it out of my system yet. I just got like a whole bag of highlighter Uncommon Thread from Loop this week. So I'm going to do a sweater with that.
Awesome.
So you're obviously incredibly passionate about knitting and colour, and specifically bright colours at the moment, but potentially most of the colours. Have you ever met a colour you didn't like?
Yes.
Oh, great.
No. Oh, my God.
I hate... let's see. I used to hate lilac. Oh.
Me too.
Like, really, it made me cringe. And I said that in one of my color play classes in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And the week or two after, I had lilac yarn, lilac pants, a lilac sweater that I turned into swants. It, like, when you put something that forcefully out into the world, it comes back at you in a good or bad way. And I chose to accept it.
Yeah.
So I worked with it. You don't have to have a whole sweater out of lilac. No. It can be a little stripe and mixed with other colors. But that's when I find myself not working with like royal purple ever. Like grape.
Yeah.
I just don't. Yeah, I haven't.
Doesn't do it for you, I'm not
strongly anti it. I just know I don't really prefer it, but. Maybe I need to challenge myself, and next week I'll have a great onesie.
See, I always find it difficult to love brown yarn. I think the world's life's too short for that.
Yeah.
But what's your views on that?
I used to knit a lot with chocolate brown, and I feel like I've exhausted that personally. So I'm like, okay, that colors remind you of a time and a place and a mood. And for me, I experienced that, and I want to move on to different... Yeah, different styles. So I don't work with chocolate brown a lot. But now that I said that, I've been thinking about this. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk the rest of the time about chocolate brown. It's like I could talk about color for years. But I've been thinking about brown, just why I don't go for it. But I have warmed up to like kind of honey, like orangey glazed browns.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, there's so many subtleties of a color. You can't blanket statement say, I don't like yellow. It is not good with my skin tone because someone gave me a color reading. And first, you shouldn't do those. Like, give yourself your own color reading.
Yeah.
And that is looking at a color. Do you like that color? Mm-hmm. If you love it, wear it. I don't care what it makes your face look like. I think that's all mental.
Yeah.
So.
And if you feel good in something, you just look better anyway.
Exactly.
You look like you're having a nice time. Exactly. And you're right, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to wear all the one color.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear many colors.
Yeah.
As illustrated many times, yeah.
That's exactly.
So I feel you might have just covered that then, but what would be your best knitting advice to anyone starting or like in the process of knitting?
Best knitting advice.
Or like best advice you've been given?
Well, there's a couple moments where someone's like told me something about knitting that stuck, and I like use it every day. Mm-hmm. And one of those was slip your last stitch, and it gives you a nice edge. And it's something so stupid that, I don't know, not stupid, but I put it in a lot of patterns now where you slip the last stitch and it looks nice and tidy, and you can pick up into it and it looks really nice. That's really geeky, but I'll remember this my whole life. Yeah. And someone told me to slip your last stitch. That was good.
But sometimes it is those eureka moments where you've just been doing something forever and someone's like, oh, but put the yarn there. And you're like, oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I was like, oh, you don't need to make a slip knot before you start a cast on necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just put the yarn over the needle and then you don't have a knot in your knitting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like, yeah.
We're going to have people elsewhere who are listening going, like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. I have no idea what you're talking about. Please upload a video. Come talk to us. We'll show you. I would love to do like my favorite top 10 tips and tricks class, which is just like, come and pay to be in a class where I tell you not to make a slip knot. But just these like duh things, but you need to hear and see them because they'll change your life.
Yeah.
And,
because when you first learn to knit, you know, there's a sort of set way of doing things and then you just often don't change that. You learn lots of other really complicated things and you don't think of going back to basics and really thinking about why you're doing, you know, why you're making a slip knot first. Like, is that really necessary? Mm-hmm. And it's really fun for somebody to just be like, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Like,
that's an amazing point. And I've heard that from people as advice, and I give it as advice too, to let go of all these unwritten rules you think are there and you need to follow to make beautiful knits and be a good knitter. Like, that's all nonsense. But let go of that idea that there are these rules you have to follow.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to like learn the rules? I always feel like you have to learn the rules of something because then you can break all of them. Like, or do you think it's better just to start from a blank slate and be like, oh, I can just knit anything?
I think it's better just to like start from scratch and just make tons of mistakes. Like, just do what you want to do. Like, instead of learning the right way to do everything. I mean, that's fine if you want to make a fitted sweater, but I don't have that desire. So just like realize what it is you want to make. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people get forced into being a really, like, being taught very technically because that's the way to do things, but it's not right for everyone's way of learning.
Yeah.
Like, some people are going to learn way more by just say, here's all these colors. You can use lace weight with chunky weight together, and you can mix cotton and wool. Like, it's fine. But people like get stuck in their knowledge of learning knitting by thinking it has to be following a certain rule or technique. Yeah.
So don't get stuck is the general advice, I think.
Yeah.
Change it up.
Yeah.
So when you, I suspect we might kind of know the answer to this, but when you're designing, do you tend to design kind of from an instinct, like an instinct that you have, or through trial and error, or like what's your process?
It's a lot of trial and error, but a lot of just improvising and figuring out what I'm doing while I'm knitting. I don't do a lot of sketching and drawing and planning what I make. A lot of it's based off of a previous shawl I made. So like, that's, for example, I just finished a shawl that you'll see soon. Mm-hmm. It's in my new spring scarf knit along, and it uses the same multiple yarn overs as Color Craving and Lumpy Space.
Mm-hmm.
There are these big elongated scarves that have like 5 yarn overs in a row or 3 yarn overs in a row. So you get these big holes. So as soon as I found out what resulted from repeating those multiple yarn overs, I was like, whoa, you get this illusion of short rows and really long shapes. So I loved what happened from those patterns I figured out. And now I have that in like my toolbox. Like, okay, I know when I do multiple yarn overs that first of all, it looks awesome. And second of all, like I know kind of the geometry of what size it's going to be. So I like stole that idea from those explorations and applied that knowledge to a recent scarf, but with more color blocking and a little different direction. So it's a lot of kind of stealing old ideas, mixing them up and adding a new element. But a lot of it I do while I knit.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the finished final product is going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. When you were a dancer, did you do a lot of improv?
Yeah, mostly improv and modern. I had to take ballet and all that stuff, but I hated it. I stopped going and I knit instead. Because they made me do it like 5 days a week. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to follow steps. They tell me what to do. I want to do my own steps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's with dance and knitting.
Yeah.
The world is connected.
Cool, so I wanted to talk about your photo shoots because they look pretty much as fun as your knits.
They're my favorite days.
Yeah, tell us more about those then.
So I worked the last 2 years with my friend Alexandra. She's a photographer and makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And she knits too, so she has this brilliant eye for capturing texture and composition. Unfortunately, this year I'm unable to work with her because she has a full commitment schedule. But I found a new photographer I'm working with, and I'm keeping the makeup kind of going. Mm-hmm. Colorful and fun, but those are my favorite days because I bring my outfits, and now I knit a lot of my scarves and sweaters to match outfits I have. Ooh. And vice versa. Mm-hmm. I'll make something with the colorful instinct from a yarn shop, and then I'll get an outfit to match it. So it's they're becoming these kind of whole, complete, solid, colorful looks, and then yeah, I get to dance in the shoots.
Yeah.
To move and pose and kind of use my knits as an extension of my body.
So the places you can knit, kind of hashtag and kind of vibe that you've done. Mm-hmm. For those people who are listening who happen to not know mm-hmm. places you can knit, just tell us a little bit about that.
So it's places where you can knit.
And in the title.
Yeah.
So I started it with some Instagram photos of me just knitting in lots of places because I travel a lot mm-hmm. and I knit everywhere all the time, and I just started taking tons of photos because people need to like just see like all these crazy places where you can knit. Mm-hmm. Education, you know, because you don't always think you can knit like next to a dumpster or like in one, you know, but you can. And then I started making videos on YouTube. You can find them as places where you can knit. Reykjavik, Denver, I did one in Mexico, I did mm-hmm. one. I need to do one in London.
I was going to say, when's the London one coming?
Yeah. And then a lot of people have been posting their own photos on mm-hmm. Instagram using the hashtag places where you can knit. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to see everyone around the world using that tag. And I find that most people using it are purposefully doing it in like cool places.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the beach.
Yeah. Like, not like places yeah. you can knit on your sofa. Like
on my sofa.
Yeah. Everybody knows cat. You can knit.
Another feature we have regularly, we always ask interviewees what their spirit animal is.
I'd have to say maybe a couple animals, like okay. a hybrid. If you mix like a red fox, like sly, and I love the gingery red color of the fox. And they have really luscious hair. My hair is like going out now. I'll get like a red fox wig when it's gone.
Or at least some extension clip in.
Yeah, tail. Yeah, exactly. You know. With like white tips.
Yeah.
And then a penguin.
All right.
So
okay.
like a fox, but with the movements of a penguin. Nice. So pretty much like a plump fox that waddles like a penguin, but it's really bushy like. And loves the cold.
What would the penguin fox hybrid be called?
Yeah, penguox.
Yeah, penguox.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
So Stephen's a penguox.
Penguox.
Could that be like a new shawl pattern name at
yeah.
one point?
Yeah, I have a jacket called Penguono.
Oh yeah, of
and
course.
And there's
yeah.
a group of ladies in Paris. There's four of them knitting the Penguono. It's this big, crazy jacket with like 50 colors in it. And they're all making their own version. And we're going to have a Penguono brunch
oh, nice.
In Paris wearing our matching jackets.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's like, I'm looking forward to this like the whole year. The event of the season, y'all.
Say, yeah.
I'll look forward to seeing that on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then our other kind of question that we ask all our interviewees is, there's a radio show here called Desert Island Discs where people have to choose 8 records to take to a desert island with them. They're going to be cast away. Mm. The knitting version of that is, of course, the Desert Island yarn. So if you're going to be cast away onto a desert island, mm-hmm. you're only allowed one yarn. You can have all the colours of that one
okay.
yarn.
It's like unlimited supply.
Yeah, okay. But just the one base.
One yarn. It's changing every week, but I'm going to have to go with my instinct right now and mm-hmm. say hedgehog fiber sock yarn.
Okay.
Okay, I did it. I committed. I'm not going back. I could like say 10 yarns. I have like a top 10 list in my head at yeah. all times, but hedgehog fiber sock yarn only if part of that is I always get, like when she does a new color, like it comes okay. my way on the island.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
So like not be okay. stuck with only the color she has, because she only has like 50 beautiful colors. But to have the new ones, yeah.
Okay, I think we can arrange
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll had Clara like a... Parks, and she has Lad too, because she was on two different time zones yeah. at the time. So
like a parachute system. That
yeah, she was like, you're not like, you are a castaway, so you can't have yeah. contact with the outside no. world, but we can yeah organize drops.
Drop-ins.
Yeah.
Cool. It we sounds like my mailbox every week. A new yarn! A new yarn to me. Yay! I need more in Edison bulb.
What plans have you got for the future? What can we expect from you? Patterns?
Or... Well, I just started, I announced the Spring Scarf Knit Along. Mm. And it's 10 new scarves and shawls that will be released throughout May and June. And so that's going on. That's all fun photos. Mm-hmm. Modeled by me because I'm a super cheap model and I know what I want, so I deliver. And that's gonna, I've been working on this collection for like the last 3-4 months, mm-hmm. and a couple of the pieces are like 3 years old too, so I brought back some things that were just sitting around and re-knit them. And I have to say, they're all really good. There aren't any fillers in the collection. It's all like pow, 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 yeah. like different construction, like big, awesome new pieces. So I'm really excited about that.
Awesome. Are you, you were teaching at Loop today. Are you doing any more teaching in the near future?
Tomorrow. I'm doing a color class tomorrow. In May, I'm doing Berlin, just a yarn festival mm-hmm. attending, not yeah. teaching. But then I teach in Paris this month, in Rotterdam. And I still have yet to plan my fall. I don't plan like a year in advance. Mm-hmm, so yeah. if you want me to come and teach at your place, ask me like... 2 weeks in advance.
Of course, you run a yarn. We didn't ask about the yarn
yeah,
shop.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I have a yarn shop, Stephen and Penelope. It's in Amsterdam, mm-hmm. and my friend Malia started it. She's the Penelope of it. That's yeah. her like superhero name. So she started it 4 years ago, and I joined her last year. Mm-hmm. And we're getting it bigger and bigger, doing more patterns, bringing in more yarns, and it's a fun project.
Yeah.
Kind of just to have a yarn support for, well, I get to like every day I walk home with new yarn from the shop. So that's great.
You see it as like your personal super stash.
It's
now.
My secondary stash. Yeah. I got my primary stash at home and that's like my backup stash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotta have backup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. So if people want to keep in touch with what you're up to in the future, where should people go? Like sites and places?
You
stuff?
Should go to Facebook and Instagram is Westknits. Mm-hmm. On Ravelry, I have Westknits Fan Club and the new Westknits Spring Scarf Knit Along group, mm-hmm. Ravelry. And yeah, do the most posts on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So you got to catch me there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go.
Woo. Well, thank you so much, Stephen.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen.
It's been a pleasure.
Bye. Keep on knitting, kitten.
Oh, and extra exciting things, we've got lots of Westknits swag to give away. So if you go to the show notes on the Pom Pom blog, you can learn how to enter that.
Yeah, you can.
We've got a signed poster.
Woo!
Tape measure.
Woo!
A bag.
Whoa.
It's giving you guys the chance to win two books. One is his new shawl knit along.
Hey.
Which you mentioned in the interview. And also the ebook of your choice. So there are many to choose from.
Very good. Yeah, so hop on over to the blog to find out how to win this. And if you're listening to this in the future, as in a few weeks or more after this podcast is released, then likelihood is the competition will be closed. But Stephen West's still a cool guy, right?
Yeah.
Even if you didn't win his stuff. So thanks again to Stephen.
All right, on to Ravelry Realness.
Yep, this is the part of the show where we troll Ravelry.
So you guys don't have to.
Exactly. I'm not saying that you don't enjoy trolling Ravelry, because everyone does.
I know we do. So what have we got for this week's theme?
So this week we've gone for travel knits, mm-hmm. which is kind of in line with our travelling stitches story section.
I love that section.
I know, right? And also in line with another exciting pom-pom extravaganza... I don't know, how am I going to describe this? Okay.
Event. On the interwebs.
Interweb event, exactly, where we have been asking you to post pictures of you knitting whilst on the go.
Yeah, bank holiday weekend, as it is in the UK at the moment.
Exactly.
Even if it's not, you can join in.
I believe it's also a holiday in America. I don't know about the rest of
the world, but I hope that you're all having a nice time, whether or not you have yeah. Monday off. So it could be that by the time you listen to this podcast, the competition is over, but you'll still be able to look up the lovely things that our pom-pom pals have posted by looking at the hashtag Travelling Stitches.
Two
L's, exactly. There are very exciting prizes. A lot like our Valentos event.
And that was awesome.
Which was super awesome and involved tiny socks for a cat. So if it goes anywhere near as well as that competition did, I think it's safe to say it's very worth searching the hashtag Travelling Stitches. So go ahead and do that. And if you are listening to this podcast in time, then please enter it. We'd love to see your pictures.
Because what you can win. What can you win?
You can win yarn.
Yarn.
So project bags, all sorts of things.
We've got yarn from Wool and the Gang, shiny happy cotton, mm-hmm. which is used in the cardigan.
In the Palila cardigan.
Yes, in the most recent pom-pom. Also pom-pom project bag.
Yes.
The ultimate accessory for if you're out and about travelling.
Exactly. I have mine with me right now.
There we go, yeah. All the cool kids have. And some yarn from Kismet Fiberworks to make Talavera.
Talavera, exactly. Yeah, so get amongst it, as my sister would say. All right, so back to the Ravelry realness. Travel knits. All right. What have we got, Sophie?
Well, I feel we talk about socks a lot, and there was even the podcast where we just pretty much talked about socks the whole
sock loving
hour. active sock life. But socks are great for travelling with.
And why is that?
Because they're small and portable.
Exactly.
And fun. And
small,
simple.
Portable, fun. Exactly. Like a tiny dog. But less yappy, and you don't have to feed them.
Yes.
Anyway,
apart from those carnivorous socks in it, it never went well.
So we also, I found a couple of patterns that involved the word travelling in their name.
Oh, are these good for travelling or is it just a misleading title?
No, I think they're good for travelling.
Oh, phew.
So we have the Travelling Woman Shawl, which of course is a Ravelry classic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's designed by Liz Abernanke. And there is actually a Travelling Woman collection.
Oh.
And I think there are many aspects in which this shawl is travelling related. You could knit it while you're travelling.
Mm-hmm.
And also that the lace, she says, like, look, you know, it's kind of a travel. I mean, all stitch patterns are travelling, mm-hmm. but she has a very beautiful explanation.
A steep man.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty deep. She has a very beautiful description of the kind of genesis of the shawl design on the Ravelry mm-hmm. page, which, of course, we'll link to. And there's also the Traveller Tunic by Joji, or Hohi, as she is known to herself. Joji to us.
A lovely interviewee of last podcast.
Exactly, yeah. From podcast 12. And she has the Traveller Tunic, which is made in John Arben Viola, which is a favourite of ours, I think it's fair to say. Yeah, I love her. And it's a tunic, unsurprisingly, that has a lovely kind of cabled yoke. And she knit it whilst travelling herself. If you follow her on Instagram, which you should, if you don't, then you've got to see all sorts of stages of it. So she says, you know, it's good for knitting whilst travelling, and also good potentially to wear whilst travelling, because it is very versatile.
Good. Well, one I'd like to offer to the pot is Piper's Journey, again, within
the Journey.
Yeah, you get the theme here, which is a Quince & Co pattern from their Scarves, etc., 2012. and it was based with the idea that you could knit this with minimal attention or annotations needed for the design. So it's mainly like a big garter stitch kind of crescent. And then you add the lace detail on the end. And one of the good things about it, the stitch count isn't essential for the lace section. You can kind of adapt it to what you pick up.
Oh, nice.
Which is a nice kind of, it's what you want in a travelling project, nothing Definitely. Too committed.
Yeah, nothing where if you, for some reason, you know, maybe you've got a digital version of your pattern, but you can't access it all of a sudden.
Oh, God.
Or you lose your printout. That's mm-hmm. happened to me.
It's fallen in the sea.
For example.
Yeah.
Exactly. That sounds very lovely.
Yeah, and that's using Quince & Co Chickadee, which again, it's a nice kind of medium weight yarn, so you're not doing something too fiddly and small. I think it's nicer to have the chunky knits for a more relaxing thing.
Yeah, like a top-down, like, bulky jumper maybe wouldn't be for the best travelling companion, just for space reasons.
Yeah.
I also have the Ricky hat, which was designed by Sarah Young, and we actually know Ricky
I'm not
herself.
Saying we're pretty cool, but
we are! Ricky, who the hat was designed kind of for, is a very lovely woman who we used to go to knit nights with.
Yeah.
She is fab, as is the Ricky hat.
Yeah. One of the nice things about that is just really simple.
Yeah.
And it suits everyone, really. It's kind of just garter stitch.
Mm.
Isn't it in the rounds you would do knit pearl?
Yeah.
Technical note there. But yeah, it's, you've made one. I've made one. Everyone should make one.
Everyone should make one, yeah. They're very kind of like unisex, and as Sophie said, you know, it's all a good hat,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. Very versatile. And you could even take it with you traveling.
And then wear it on the way home.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Perfecto. And then we also have, well, I have here, Travel Fox, which is amazing. If you haven't seen this on Ravelry, Megan found this. And it was one of the best bits of Ravelry realness I think that's ever happened.
What about the
Pet Rock? Well, Pet Rock is up there. We're going to make a top three one day of Ravelry realness finds. But Travel Fox, which is by Irene Strange and is from Inside Crochet magazine. We'll link to it, of course. And you can still access the pattern online, I think. It's a crocheted fox neck pillow.
So it kind of looks like one of those fancy stoles you used to get with, like, real fur.
But yes.
No foxes were harmed in the making of
this. No foxes harmed. And, yeah, you can, you know, like, when you're on the airplane and you have, like, a little neck pillow, so uh-huh. you can kind of slump, slump stylishly, like, you know, just lean a little bit on your pillow rather than just, like, lolling forward with your head on your knee, which, I mean, I can't sleep on planes, so I don't know much about this, but I gather that some people fall asleep like that.
There's a really good bit in one of Elizabeth Zimmerman's books, I think it's The Knitter's Almanac, and she talks about her, like, technique for falling asleep anywhere, and she's like, I sit up really, really straight, and then I just let my chin droop down to my chest, and then she's like, I find I can sleep anywhere.
Wow.
I think that's one of the bits you don't expect in a knitting book, like, napping techniques.
Well, and it just adds to the ways in which I wish I was more like Elizabeth.
Yes, same here.
As I am not a very good sleeper, but I think I would want a travelling fox pillow anyway, just for the relaxing time, you know. So everyone should check that out, as well as all the previous things we discussed. And of course, from the most recent issue, we have not one, but two bag-related items.
So we have a little crochet purse.
Yeah.
For your trinkets.
Uh-huh, called Azulejo, which mm-hmm. is made in Quince &
Co. I'll let you pronounce that one.
Quince & Co. Sparrow, and designed by Judith Brand. And yeah, it's just like, what did I say earlier? For your knickknacks.
For your knickknacks. But I don't have any knickknacks.
Get some knickknacks.
Oh, okay.
Get some. And then, you know, you could use it to, say, store, for example, your stitch markers mm-hmm. and crochet hook, all sorts of things to take with you whilst travelling.
Perfect.
And we, of course, have the pomelo bag, which I discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, once you get to your travelling, the place you're travelling to, and you're wandering around the market, perhaps, could be, you need a bag to put your stuff in, right?
My souvenir donkey, or whatever you're getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Those things you buy, you're like, oh, this is awesome. You get home, you're like, oh.
Where am I going to put this fibre optic, like, Mary and Joseph statue? Oh, in my bag.
It's a solar-powered gondolier. Someone, you know.
What about all this fudge?
I feel like you're speaking from experience.
I do love a good trinkety thing to bring back. Oh, so there it is. There's the Ravelry realness, I believe.
Because Ravelry is what? Fundamental. So, on to top three. Now, we had suggestions on our Ravelry group, and this one is from Jomiel.
Yes, we're not exactly sure how you pronounce it, Jomiel, but you know who you are.
And you suggested that we talk about top three things to bring on a trip, or like travelling, for entertainment mm-hmm. and practical reasons, I think we've gone for.
Yes, and there's two important caveats here, because we decided to ban... We can't involve knitting or crochet in our top three because it's kind of a given, yeah. Let's be honest.
We've already got that. We've packed it, it was the first thing. Yeah. At least three projects.
Stage one of packing.
Exactly.
You know, the packing of the knitting takes at least 24 hours of time. Because sometimes you have to swatch for a thing specially to make sure.
And then make sure you've got the right needles anyway.
Right.
And, yeah.
You know, interchangeable needle set, that's a good thing. Anyway. Let's not reveal anything.
And the second thing. No snacks.
No snacks. Because all we ever talk about in top three is snacks. And
like, still important things, but...
But they're like as obvious as knitting. So we decided to ban both knitting and snacks because they'd basically be...
It was a tough decision, but...
But we've made it, guys, and we hope that you can appreciate why we've made this hard decision and the benefits that it will bring to this segment of the podcast. So without further ado, Sophie Scott, what's your top three travel knickknacks?
All right, so... When we were saying, can it be entertainment or can it be practical, I went for a mix.
Okay.
On my first, well, number three or whatever, mm-hmm. the first one, would be a bag of resealable bags.
I did not see that coming.
Well, because I once read this tip in a magazine somewhere. They were like, if you were somewhere and you need a hot water bottle, but obviously you didn't bring that with you, you can wet a piece of fabric like a tea towel and then put in hot water... And then put it in a bag, and then you've made a hot water bottle.
Have you ever done this?
No, but I'm waiting. I tell this fact to people and they're like, well, why would you do that? And I'm like, because you need a hot water bottle. I think it's really cool. So that's... And also when you're camping in general, I've done a lot of camping and I get really into like being really like organized and having like the kit and then like all the tips, like put your pajamas in your sleeping bag. Because then when you unroll your sleeping bag, boom, it's pajama time. Don't need to go find those guys.
Very smart. Very good.
So this is the kind of thing that people... My sister would always get really annoyed with me when she'd go camping. I was like, oh, have you done this? Have you done this? She's like, I don't need your tips. Whatever. She's younger than me.
I feel like I do need your tips.
Well, you know what? I told her... I made her put her pajamas in her sleeping bag. And she said, I understood. I saw the light. Ordered them out. And there I was.
Ah. And you could use the resealable bags... For if you were flying, for example, you need them because you're not allowed the toiletries.
See, you're on my wavelength now. You've got the seal stuff, the toiletries, and then if you need to like organize stuff in your suitcase, because then you just have bag of pants, bag o' pants, as they're known.
Wow, I'm learning.
So that's why I think that's a top thing.
I think that is a top thing.
You can put snacks in them. Anyway.
For example, knitting.
Makes me sound really cool. But I
think you're cool.
So what I'd also bring is pen and paper, which might seem obvious.
Very good.
But then I really, really love paper games. So like Consequences, where you sort of write down a story and everyone writes a bit and you pass it round. And also there's this game, which I know is Squares, but basically you draw a grid of dots and then everyone takes a turn to draw a line and basically you're trying to make a square. And if you make a square, then you get to like win a point. Countless lessons
Sounds
of
like
physics.
A riot.
Yeah, well, yeah. Countless lessons of physics I've passed by playing that game. And so still did all right on GCSE physics. That's good. So yeah, and then you've got the options of doing like drawing while you're there, which is nice because
writing poetry
and
haikus,
travel diaries, things like that. I think you can't underestimate the joy and simplicity of a pen and paper. Also doing origami, that's quite fun. I know someone who used to know how to make an origami frog when they were out traveling like somewhere in Asia. They'd be like, just break the ice being like, oh, do you know how to make this? And give it to someone and be like, cool, can I stay with you?
You could also make those kind of, what are they called? The things that you...
Like a fortune teller, the little, like a little beaky thing.
Oh man, I loved those. I used to draw eyes on them and call them Bob.
There you go.
They were all called Bob.
So you don't need any amusement if you're travelling along in a car with you, then you've just got Bob.
Just got Bob!
My number one would be a pack of cards. Seems obvious. Right?
It does,
but
yes.
Then when you're traveling along, I know I've gone like, oh, why didn't I pack the cards?
Yeah.
I did actually, we were once in a Spanish airport and our flight got delayed and I was like, oh, let's go buy a pack of cards. And then the pack of cards was slightly different because it wasn't like a English pack. There was a slight difference in the suit. And then some of the cards were just a different sort of set, like an extra bonus card. And so we played that and the person I was playing it with was very, very tired and I kept I was winning every one. And there's this little old Italian couple next to us like, he's lost again, kind of thing. Obviously they weren't speaking English to us, but I could see them being like, the folly
of
loot.
What game are you playing?
Twos and Eights.
You can teach me later.
Yeah, I'll teach you later. So yeah, I think always have a pack of cards because then you can play a game called, well, I can't say the name of it.
Poophead.
Which is a very good university game.
I love that game. Okay, so
your
I
top
have
three. Yeah.
Three things. I feel like sad about my number three because I think it's too practical, but I've written it down and I'm...
I have resealable bags.
It's true, I have a toothbrush.
Yes, that's so
sensible. Because if I always keep it in, I have a little sort of case for the head of the toothbrush.
Oh man, I can talk about those a lot. I think they're a very useful thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got mine from Tiger, the exciting shop, the land of possibilities. Yeah. And so if you have that, you know, in an accessible location with some toothpaste, you just, you know, if you've been traveling, if you've, you know, been traveling for a long time, in whatever way you've been traveling, you know, bus, plane.
By mule,
for example, then when you get to the place, if you brush your teeth, you just feel like...
It's true. It does refresh
a new person.
You.
And at festivals or camping or whatever, as long as you can brush your teeth, you feel like you're clean.
Yeah. You don't feel like a little furry animal.
Exactly.
Lives in your mouth.
So I'm definitely going to go with toothbrush and yeah. Okay, number two. This is a thing that's come in handy for me in the past. Is a big scarf, which you can use as a blanket.
Yes.
Or a neck pillow. So if you have a scarf that's like really big and kind of chunky, it could be a scarf that you've knit. Could be, you know, a non-knitted scarf. Also acceptable.
For example, Megan gave me an amazing giant scarf that she brought back from India.
That's like a, from like Goa, in fact. That's like a big single duvet.
It's when freaking huge. When
you
wear huge.
It, it's literally yeah. like swamping your heart. You look like kind of like some Bedouin tribe woman wearing a massive scarf around your
but
head.
But it's brilliant, and because, you know, if it's cold, then it's great. And it, and you, yeah, you can kind of sleep on it, like with a neck pillow, or you can put it over your lap mm-hmm. if you need to. Or you could sit on it if it's too warm, and it's just a comfy pillow. Oh,
perfect.
So that's my travelling tips. Mm-hmm. I think between us, we're like, we should start a separate podcast just for travelling tips. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
Whew, I'm going to calm down slightly. Okay.
I think we just need really want to go on holiday. We're like, oh,
and then... Oh boy. And then I'll pack this. Okay, so then number one for me, and this is number one not just for travelling for me, but in mm-hmm. all aspects of my life. Again, not including knitting, second favourite thing, podcasts.
Yes.
You have to have podcasts. So before I go anywhere, even just to get the bus to work, I make sure I have enough audio time to keep me going because I'm completely addicted to listening to podcasts. And I just think they're the best way to pass any kind of time because you can, you know, get a funny one if you think you're not going to be able to really concentrate, or, you know, a really absorbing kind of informative one if you know that you need to be like really, really distracted, or you can have a combination.
Or a witty, informative, knitting based podcast.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys come across one you want to tell us about. So, you know, I could go and list all the podcasts I listen to. I won't because that'll be a whole extra hour and a half that no one wants to hear. But yeah, that's my top travelling companion. You know, I could leave the toothbrush and the scarf behind.
As long as you had a good podcast.
As long as I had a good podcast, everything is okay.
Well, we hope you have had a good podcast and everything is okay with you guys.
We sincerely do.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, and we hope that if you do any travelling of any kind, that you take a picture of you knitting on the go mm-hmm. and you send it to us. You can either send it to podcast@pompommag.com, or even more excitingly, you can post it in our thread in the Ravelry group.
Mm-hmm.
We have many threads in our Pompom Ravelry group, and we'd like to see you in at least one of them,
yeah.
preferably many of them. And you can always visit our website, pompommag.com. And...
Wonderful. That's all the social media interwebs forms,
yeah,
I think.
Or,
yeah,
of course, Instagram.
Instagram. Pompom Mag. Oh, we've got one. And Twitter.
Oh, shoot. And we're Pompom Mag everywhere, basically, guys. So please come and join us.
Find a bit
hello.
Of the internet and we'll see you there.
Yeah. And we'll see you here on the podcast next month.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Pomcast is produced by Lydia Gluck and Sophie Scott, with lots of help from Eli Block, who wrote the original music for this and all of our other podcasts. Go, Eli. You can find more Eli-related music at goodgirlandthebadtimes.com. Big thanks to our interviewee, Stephen West, who is fabulous, as I think we'll all agree. So thanks again to him. And thanks, as always, to Megan Fernandez, the co-editor and co-creator of Pom Pom, and general awesome lady around town.
Of course, I'd like to say a big thank you to all you Pom Pom buyers, subscribers, and listeners. Send any feedback or suggestions to podcast@pompommag.com. And don't forget to join our thread on the Pom Pom Ravelry group.
See you there!